Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, fight fans, and welcome to this issue of Knuckle Up on Sports Action Network Radio. It's your host, George Bowley, and as always, sitting in, the editor at the MMA Corner and Scrap Fight Magazine, Mr. Josh Davis. What's going on, brother?
You know, just enjoying a beautiful Friday, gearing up for my MMA weekend. How about yourself?
Oh, man, it's been a day. You just won't believe the type of day I'm having with just outside stuff, outside of fighting. And, you know, man, you just sit there and all you can do is just shake your head. You know, my safety point is my daughter and my kids. And every time I have one of these days, I just look at her and go, you know, is everything going to be all right? She looks at me. She'll be four in May. She goes, yes. So I'm like, that's all I need to hear. You know what I mean?
That's exactly it.
So, that is all I need to hear. It's all I need to hear. So you just plow through it, man, and keep it moving. But there's a lot of MMA news. We have two main events that have switched from Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz, and also Bellator 150, Dantes and, this guy's name, it's been scrapped. A lot of other things. Is there other bigger news than that? What's really going on?
Well, I think those are the two big stories. And now struggling to pronounce his name. Anyways, he's sick. Had to withdraw, so Congo versus Quiros was upgraded to the main event for Bellator 150. Obviously, everything going on with Conor. Those are the big stories, but the more I watch everything related to Anderson and Bisping, man, you know, there's legitimate hatred between these characters. And the more I see it, the more hyped I am to watch this fight tomorrow.
Yeah, this is completely being outshadowed, the fact that there's a UFC event. It has nothing to do with this. Hello?
Yeah. Did I cut out on
you? Okay. A little bit. Go ahead.
All right. Yeah, no, it's... To me, this is a big event, and the UFC is completely overshadowing it. I know it's a fight night, and it's on Fight Pass, and it's in London. But the winner of this fight's going to get a title shot. And I don't know. I am surprised that the UFC is just completely glossing over this like it's not even happening.
Well, why do you think that they're doing this? Do you think that, you know, because they think, quite honestly, that both of these fighters are past their prime?
You know, to be real honest, I think it's punishment to Anderson is really what I think is going on here. Michael is taken care of because it's in London. It's in his backyard. He's got all his hometown peeps there. He's fine. Anderson's truly the one suffering through all of this. And yeah, I hate to say that the UFC would go to such lengths, but yeah, I really do think that's what's going on here. I think they're making Anderson go through all of this because of what happened in the past. And so I don't think their age, I don't think is really that big of an issue because whoever wins this fight, they're going to push as the next title contender. So I think it just goes down to Anderson really being punished.
All right. Okay, I mean, look, any way you cut it. You know, Anderson Silva was out for a year. What can you do? You know, I mean, there still wasn't any real explanation that I was able to see on his part as to, you know, what that issue was, if I'm just being honest. The thing about it is Anderson Silva, to me, still has draw power. If they can do Ken Shamrock and Hoyce Gracie, and that can get a lot of buzz, Anderson Silva fighting Michael Bisping is just like, I don't understand that. Anderson's made hundreds of millions of dollars for the UFC over the term.
You know, this that fight, without question, could be a pay-per-view because, again, Anderson does have the drawing power. The other thing they could have done with it is they could have thrown it on Fox, which I know Fox wanted. Would have done great ratings, free TV. Bottom line, they're throwing it on Fight Pass. Again, it's kind of a slight to Anderson, but this is part of their push for Fight Pass. If you think about just named fighters, this is the biggest named main event on Fight Pass. And they're doing it, again, for a reason, to continue to push Fight Pass and try and get it a following. You know how many people are going to subscribe to Fight Pass this week just so they can see Bisping and Anderson tomorrow? Lots. So, you know, I understand what the UFC is doing with it. I just don't necessarily like it.
Right. Well, we'll see. You know, I think other news is really
Dot off Elsard.
Yes. There we go. It just I was just getting ready to say it and it slipped my mind. But Dada's health, you know, we just don't know. I guess that explains a lot of things that happened in that fight. And I'm not a doctor, but I do know when you're dealing with cardiovascular issues, that's not anything that you can get a grip on. I mean, your heart can speed up and slow down at any time. It feels like it because it's an involuntary muscle. But I don't know. You know, we saw Shane Carwin go through a similar lactic acid type dump when he fought Brock Lesnar. He became completely incapacitated. And the fear was if that much lactic acid got to his heart, it would stop his heart. Have they been able to find out anything else about Dada and what happened?
Well, he's still in the hospital, and he's going to be in the hospital through the end of the weekend.
Okay.
And so they're still running tests to see what's going on. His manager spoke about it, said that, you know, he is going to be fine, that, you know, he is going to have a speedy recovery. Doctors, again, are still just running tests to make sure that everything is going to be good moving forward. You know, again, I'm not a medical doctor, but I am surprised that Bellator's doctors actually let this fight happen, because all the medical testing that goes into a fight, they had to know that there was some kind of... Number two, you could see it on Dada's face. You know, he just did not ever look right in that fight. His eyes were extremely big. He was breathing heavy before the fight even started. You know, I don't want to say that the moment was too much for him, because he's been in those types of situations before. I truly do attribute it to whatever health issues he had going on. And, you know, that fight, in my mind, never should have happened. And now, you know, seeing what's going on with his health issues, definitely never should have happened.
Yeah, that's true. That's absolutely true. You know, and it explains a lot. You know, it actually explains a lot in that particular fight. I was hard. I was completely disappointed, quite honestly, with both of their performance. Not just Dada, but Kimbo too. You know, Kimbo was exhausted during the first round. Look, as far as I'm concerned, there was just no excuse. On both their parts, but especially Dada. Dada was a younger fighter, and he hadn't taken that much damage. I was surprised that he had gassed so quickly, completely and utterly surprised. But seeing that news, I was just like, wow, you know, we could have had a complete fatality, real-life fatality in the ring, you know, when it came to this. And just a good thing that it didn't.
You know, and the other thing that people are either taken for granted or just completely clueless about is adrenaline. And if you don't think that Dada had all kinds of adrenaline, leading into that fight, you've never been in a fight in your life, because absolutely he did. And at some point, he suffered the adrenaline dump. But where I'm going with it is, when you have that much adrenaline and your heart is just boom, 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 absolutely, a man of that size is going to have some kind of reaction to all of that kind of stuff. And no, we are lucky that we didn't see something more significant happen to him. And going back to Kimbo, I don't want to disrespect Dada in any way, but a true MMA fighter, a truly conditioned athlete like what we pay to see, would have tore right through Kimbo.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. You know, and I'm not saying that because I favor Dao Dao in any way. I'm saying that because that is truly a matter of fact. You know, a well-conditioned athlete, athlete definitely would have been able to had a better showing, you know, than what he had done. And like I said, he couldn't even throw punches. And I just didn't know what it was looking at it, you know. So I do apologize for being judgmental and being so, I guess, firm in that fact. But hearing this news, and great, great, great for Jeremy. You know, Jeremy's been able to break a lot of news, you know, decent news. He broke the story with, you know, the issue with King Mo and Tito and a few other things, you know. So yep. Definitely.
And, you know, here is one thing that I want to say. You know, again, I take my hat off to anyone who ever steps in the cage, because that takes a special kind of courage. But in the future, all fighters, remember, there are other ways to make a living. You do not need to kill yourself for a paycheck, ever.
Yep.
Certainly not on my account.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. You know, he spoke the truth. Definitely spoke the truth. But switching gears really quick, the Anderson Silva card, are there really any surprises to that particular card this weekend, besides Fight Pass and what they're trying to do to build up Fight Pass? I mean, Fight Pass has, what, how many subscribers now have you confirmed? Because I've been hearing a lot of different numbers.
You know, I have not gotten a firm number at all. I'll have one UFC rep tell me one thing. I'll have a different rep tell me something completely else. And then when I talk to Ant, who runs Fight Pass, I get yet a third response. So, honestly, I don't know what their true numbers are, but I also think that's the way the UFC wants it to be. I don't think, I don't think the UFC wants to release true numbers yet. I think they're
What does Ant think that the numbers are?
Oh, over seven figures.
Yeah, that's about right. That sounds about right.
And, you know, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if it was even higher than that. But, again, I think the UFC is keeping it quiet because, again, this is their negotiating piece for Fox. Because if Fox doesn't renew, they're not going to a different network. They're going 100% Fight Pass.
Yeah. Look, that was their goal. They didn't put Fight Pass online. And Dana White has said for more than almost 10 years, you know, internet is going to be the place where they want to be. You look at successful companies like Netflix, Crackle, you know, Hulu, you name it. Everybody has a streaming service that works. And it works for whatever people are willing to pay that month. You know, Fight Pass is now $10 a month. And $10 a month to get your content, It's not unreasonable. There was a reason why they were aggregating combat sport content. Everybody now wants to be on Fight Pass, from Invicta to Pancrase. You see what I'm saying?
They do.
Glory.
Yeah.
You know, Because if you sit here and you say, well, you know, TV ratings are kicking my behind for 400,000 views, when I can go into a marketplace that I know has over seven figures guaranteed, you know what I mean? What do I have to lose?
And so, moving forward, the UFC truly, if they want this, if they want Fight Pass to be their home, they're either going to have to go the way of the WWE and stream everything on Fight Pass, all your pay-per-views, all of that kind of stuff, or they're going to have to do it. So, again, because the only people who pay for pay-per-views is us in Canada, they'll have to make it so, again, if you're a U.S. or Canadian Fight Pass subscriber, instead of paying $60 for a pay-per-view, you get it for $29.99.
Yeah, and that's if it's going to be a pay-per-view. The other issue and the problem is the fact that, you know, other countries like Europe, they get pay-per-views that we pay for free. So
yep.
There's going to have to be that huge, you know, they're going to have to be able to solve that riddle in order to make Fight Pass work. They really are, you know. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. No doubt about it. So, any other news to talk about?
You know, I think those are the main things. This is, you know, it's other than everything going on with Conor, that's pretty much been the main focus of the week. I know Sergio Pettis and Chris Kalaitis were added to UFC 197. I don't know that would be news if it wasn't Sergio Pettis. I know Frankie Edgar is not happy with the way that he's been portrayed in the fight with Conor. But, you know, that is what it is. Alistair Overeem has re-signed with the UFC, and his official return will be against Andrei Arlovsky at UFC Fight Night in Rotterdam. So that is... You know, I think that's a big story because
let me ask you really quick before you finish your thought. With going back to Frankie, I mean, I don't understand, where did that come from? Is that a UFC plant story, or is that a writer trying to make a story? Because Frankie's already said he wanted to fight Conor, but why should he have to do it with 2 weeks' notice?
Well, this is Dana White, so I can't remember what Las Vegas TV show Dana White did, but he came on and said that, you know, he first called Jose Aldo and asked Jose to take the fight, and Jose said no, he didn't want to do it unless the 145-pound title was on the line, and obviously Dana said, well, you can't fight for the 145-pound title at 155 pounds, so Jose said that he wouldn't take the fight. Their next call was to Frankie, and Frankie told Dana, he was like, you know, I'm rehabbing an injury. We talked about this. You know, I went to you and said, hey, should I hold off on doing this and wait and see what happens, or should I go ahead and do it now so I can be prepared to fight at UFC 200? You told me to be prepared to fight at UFC 200. That's what I'm doing. I'm not in shape to fight right now. That's how the conversation went, but that's not how Dana portrayed it. Dana portrayed it as, I called up Frankie and he turned it down. So there's two guys that have been saying that they want this fight and they turned it down. They don't want to fight Conor. And so that's what Frankie is overly pissed about, and he should be. Because again, Frankie has been nothing but a company man. He has not done anything but what Dana, Lorenzo, and the rest of the UFC has asked him to do. You know, he's fought for cheap when he shouldn't have. He's done media days for free. He's done all kinds of things for the UFC. And so for Dana to kind of punk him like that, absolutely, if I was Frankie, I'd be pissed.
Yeah, look, there's no doubt about it. And that's what I was trying to get to when I was seeing some of these things. I was just like, but that doesn't sound like Frankie. You know what I mean? Frankie takes a fight just like he'll fight anybody. You know? Frankie's a Central Jersey guy. He'll fight anybody. He's never backed down from a fight.
And the truth of the matter is Frankie did say that he would take the fight. His exact words were, today night, if it comes down to it and I need to save this card, I will take this fight, but I'm going to be at 50%. And it all
that
goes back to previous, and it all goes back to previous conversations that he had had with the UFC when talking about, hey, should I start rehabbing this? Should I start doing that? Because it's going to shelf me, and I won't be available for anything. Or should I just wait, you know, and see what happens, and I'll fight through it at UFC 200 if that's what it comes down to. And they told him no. They told him, rehab it, get yourself healthy, get ready to go.
Yeah, that sounds more like Frankie. It really does. Really
but
does.
But that's not a story either. And that's the thing. That's not that you don't go on national TV and say that. That's not knowing that's not a story. That's not that doesn't get people buzzing. What gets people buzzing is, oh, Frankie turned down the fight. He doesn't want to fight.
Of course, everything is about clicks. You know, who's viewing what? How do you get them there to view your story? So if you don't have a headline like that, then nobody's viewing your content. Content is king. That's just the society that we live in. You know, that's why Donald Trump doesn't have to pay for advertising. He just has to open his mouth, and, you know, he gets millions of dollars worth of free press.
Yep. Facts are irrelevant. Just... yeah, content is king, and it's hilarious that that's what it's come to. But, you know, and then the other thing, and it, which has kind of been swept under the rug, their next call was to Donald Cerrone, and Donald said, yes, absolutely, 100%, I will take that fight. I'll take it at 170 pounds. I'll take it at 155 pounds. I'll even take it at 145 pounds. If that's where he wants to do it. Now, there is some discrepancy on what happened after that. I am told that they went back to Conor, and Conor said, give me a bigger name.
A bigger name
now,
than Donald Cerrone? He wanted to fight Donald Cerrone.
Exactly. So I don't know, to be real honest, I don't know that the UFC even ever took that fight to Conor. I think at the very same time they were talking to Donald, I think they were talking to Nate as well. And I think at the end of the day, to be real honest, I think Nate Diaz was the number one choice the whole time. I think they were just trying to figure out how they could do it, and they were negotiating with Nate even while they were talking with everybody else.
I like this fight. I like the fight from the time Nate won and he called Conor out. You know, look, I like their trash talking. I think their style is dated, but I know that, and you know that the Diaz brothers are fighters. They don't turn down anything. And Nate is a veteran. You know, Nate is an Ultimate Fighter winner when Conor McGregor wasn't even thinking about mixed martial arts. Okay? So you can't take anything from him. And I'm going on the record. If the Nate Diaz that shows up, that beat Donald Cerrone shows up, he's going to win. He's definitely going to win that fight. You know, put hands on him, mark his face up quick, and take him out the game. He's definitely going to win that fight. He's the bigger fighter. See, Conor's always been the bigger fighter. That's why he went from 55 to 45.
You know, and to be real honest, I know it's meaningless at 175 pounds, but on such short notice, I like this fight at 170 pounds because now all Nate has to do is show up and fight. He doesn't have to worry about anything else. He just has to fight. And there's been all this talk about, well, Nate didn't want to do the fight at 155 pounds. That's not true. He absolutely said he would do it at 155 pounds. What he did say, going along with that, is, hey, I haven't been in camp like Conor has. I haven't been adjusting my weight like Conor has for the past 6 weeks. I'm well over 155 pounds. If you want me to sit in the sauna and kill myself to lose, because he says he's at 174, I think is what he said he was at. So if you want me to sit in the sauna and kill myself to lose these 20 pounds over the next 2 weeks, because, again, I'm a skinny guy to begin with. It's not easy for me to lose that weight. Then you have to pay me to do so.
Right.
And so he just wanted more pay-per-view buys in order to lose that. And so the UFC was fine with that. They said, whatever, you know. And I guess Connor is the one who kicked that back because he didn't want to give up any of his percentages and said, no, we'll do it at 165. And Nate came back and said, no, you're missing the point. You know, if I'm going to have to significantly cut weight, then you're going to have to pay me. And so they came up with 170, just said, we'll do it there. And all of that, I think, was Nate's mental mind games starting off. You know, because Nate's getting paid by the UFC. The UFC is paying Nate a ton of money to take this fight. Going after Connor's percentages was just getting in his head. Because that's all Connor
cares about. There's no doubt about it. No doubt about it. You know, Connor has a guarantee of $10 million no matter who he fights. So there's no doubt about it.
I think, you know, Nate going after those guarantees, because, again, Nate had to know he wasn't going to get that. Even if Connor said yes, he had to know the UFC still wasn't going to allow that to happen. So he's just already poking him, already starting the mental warfare before the fight's even happening. And that's what people are failing to realize. They're saying, oh, Nate's greedy, this, that, and the other. No. Nate's a professional, and he's already started the mind games with Connor. Now he's in Connor's head because Connor's thinking, this MF-er wants to take my money. It's not enough that he gets the opportunity to fight me, but now he wants to take my money as well. And here we go.
And look, that's what Connor does. Connor gets in people's head too. And that's why I said, you know, as far as the talking, it's great talking. But as far as the skill set, Nate has the reach. Look, if he can keep his punches straight, I think Conor McGregor's not going to – Conor says he's going to get him out of there in the first minute of the fight. I highly doubt that. I highly doubt that. If Nate just punches straight, you know, look, the same thing happened with Ronda. What did I say? We're all going to find out what happens when Holly Holm starts to mark her face up. And we saw exactly what happened. You know, I feel like it's the same way, the exact same way here. He has the longer reach. You know, Donald Cerrone didn't know what to do with him after that happened. Donald was basically out of the fight in the first round.
Yep.
You know, so you can't take Nate Diaz lightly, or it's an easy payday, or he got knocked out with this, that, and the third, and blah, blah, blah. That was many fights ago. And if all he has to do is show up and fight and throw punches, he'll do that. He'll definitely do that. So
you know, let's talk about this for a quick second. Yeah, RDA beat the crap out of Nate, you know, and so did Josh Thompson. But those guys have pretty much beat the crap out of everybody that they faced. And if you look at RDA, he's knocked out Cerrone. He's knocked out Ben Anderson. He completely tuned up Anthony Pettis for five rounds. So if Connor is able to dust Nate Diaz inside of a minute, if he's able to knock Nate Diaz out inside of a minute, then you will hear me refer to him as the king of MMA on this show. If he's got that kind of power and those little hands of his, then there's no stopping him. But I don't think he does. You know, yes, he hits hard, but Nate's got a chin. He's not dusting Nate at all. I think he's going to be in for a rude awakening.
I agree with you. You know, if all Nate has to do is show up and fight and throw punches, it's not going to be an easy fight. And although we've actually skipped past a lot of these cards, you know, this is the more relevant stuff to talk about here. And we'll go more on that next week. I think we only have like 30 seconds left. So everybody check out. And also check out the new times. You know, Fight Pass starts at 4 p.m. East Coast time. You know, and the early prelims start at 12:45 East Coast time, p.m. So don't wait till 8 o'clock at night. You'll miss the show.
Exactly. You can read about it on Twitter at that point.
Absolutely. Don't forget, for this or any of the episodes, you can go to the Google Play Marketplace and download the free Sports Action Network mobile app. And also, for the latest MMA news and information, you can go to The MMA Corner. That's TheMMAcorner.com. Check out the latest issue of Scrap Fight Magazine. That's scrapfightmag.com. I want to thank you for sitting in, partner. Everybody stay knuckled up, and we will definitely talk next week.
Your days at the newsstand are over. Scrap Fight Magazine brings all the world's mixed martial arts action to your computer with a click of a mouse. Read articles, interviews, and feature pieces from some of the world's most respected fight journalists, and get the lowdown on the biggest MMA events and fighters from across the globe. And because Scrap is digital, you'll have full access to the integrated audio and video segments. So subscribe now at www.scrapfightmag.com and get your scrap on.